السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل لو شاء الله ما تلوته عليكم ولا أدراكم به فقد لبست فيكم أمرا من قبله أفلا تعقلون. فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا وكذب بآياته إنه لا يفلح المجرمون اس کا آیت کا ترجمہ یہ ہے آیات کا.
The translation of the verses is as follows. Say, if Allah had so willed, I should not have recited it to you, nor would have He made it known to you. I have indeed lived among you a whole lifetime before this. Will you not then understand? Who is then more unjust than he who forges a lie against Allah, or he who treats his signs as lies? Surely, the guilty shall never prosper. Various aspects of the life and character of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, were being mentioned. Today, his morals, truthfulness, honesty and integrity will be discussed. Among accounts pertaining to the life and character of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, we find most excellent examples of his truthfulness, to the extent that even his enemies could not refrain from acknowledging his exceptional standard of honesty and truthfulness. Allah the Almighty has described this very standard of his truthfulness in the verses of the Holy Quran, which I have just recited. And he instructed that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to say to them that I have never spoken a lie under any circumstances. I have never abandoned truthfulness, and you are witnesses to this. Would I then fabricate a lie against God Almighty by bringing a religion that is not from God? This is impossible. And at the same time, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, also instructed his followers that now that you are following me and have made an oath to obey me, now you must uphold the highest standards of truthfulness. As such, today, all of us must examine ourselves in this regard, as it is these very high standards of truthfulness which guarantee success in every moment of our lives, and they will also open for us the doors for tabligh, i.e. propagating the true message of Islam. Discussing the pure life of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote at one place, or perhaps said in a sermon, that with regards to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, we observe that even his enemies acknowledged that he was Siddiq, i.e. truthful, and Amin, i.e. trustworthy, and they never leveled any allegation against him. In fact, even the staunchest of enemies bore witness to his purity and truthfulness. For example, a gathering was held in Mecca to decide what to say to outsiders visiting Mecca and inquiring about the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. They said that they would agree upon a single response so that there would be no disagreement, as they were already being humiliated because one person would say one thing and another person would say something else. Thus, when people come for Hajj, i.e. the pilgrimage, they should decide upon one single response. Upon this, one of them suggested to say that he has the habit of lying and that whatever he says is false. Hearing this, a man named Nazr bin Haris stood up and said that this should not be said, for if you say this, no one will believe you. In fact, people will respond by saying that Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, lived among you during his youth. And at that time, he was regarded as the most righteous and virtuous among you. And he is the most truthful and the most trustworthy. To the extent that when his temples started turning grey and he brought to you the teaching that he brought, that is, the teachings of Islam, you started saying that he is a liar. By God, under such circumstances, he cannot be a liar. And so, upon hearing the response of this individual, they all acknowledged their mistake and started thinking of another objection instead. Thus, what a truthful statement that man presented. Had they previously ever attributed falsehood to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then someone could possibly have believed this to be true. However, when throughout his entire life they had called him truthful, then how could anyone suddenly believe the allegation that he was a liar? Similarly, when Heraclius asked Abu Sufyan about the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, whether he had ever told a lie, upon this Abu Sufyan replied that until today he has never lied. He said that he added the words until today only so that some doubt might remain, implying perhaps that he might lie in the future. Likewise, on one occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, climbed a mountain and called the people to gather. I have mentioned this incident before as well, but now it is in relation to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's truthfulness. It is said that when they assembled, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that if I were to tell you that in such and such valley an army has gathered and is about to attack you, would you believe me? They replied, yes, we would believe you, even though it was impossible for such a large army to assemble so close to Mecca without the people knowing about it. Thus, the fact that they were prepared to believe in such a statement, which outwardly seemed impossible, i.e. it was impossible for such an incident to happen, and simply upon hearing it from his mouth, shows that they had such firm conviction in his truthfulness that they considered it impossible for him to lie or to deceive them. Further explaining this point, Hazrat Muslim Aud radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that what was it about the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that influenced even his opponents? Initially, they were not influenced by the Holy Quran. The teachings of the Holy Quran did not immediately affect them in a way that would lead them to act upon its teachings or enter into his allegiance. Rather, what influenced them was the earlier life of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He had lived among them, and they had witnessed his honesty, his truthfulness, his sympathy for mankind, and his spirit of sacrifice, and this is what affected them. Before his claim, he did not openly forbid them from associating partners with God, because the command from Allah had not yet come. However, he himself was never a polytheist. The excellence of his conduct and the way of life itself had its effect, and this influence was working quietly within them. That is, this was influencing the people. His righteousness, his example, and his noble character were most certainly influencing people, and they could not raise their eyes in opposition to it. As mentioned earlier, when he climbed the mountain in Mecca and called the people and said that if I were to tell you that a large army is approaching, would you believe me? And even though such a thing was impossible, But the people replied that, yes, we would believe you. And they said this because they knew that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had never spoken falsely. And so upon this they said that we have never heard you utter a lie, and you have always been trustworthy and have always spoken the truth. Therefore, we would believe this as well. And so at that point, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that if that is the case, then I tell you another true thing. And that truth is that God is one, and associating partners with him is evil. That is, worship the one God and abandon shirk, otherwise a punishment will come upon you. This statement did not influence them in the same way. His life had influenced them, his actions, his truthfulness, his righteousness, and his goodness had affected them. But when this claim was presented, they did not accept it, and they rejected it. Therefore, the real thing is that a person's example and conduct should be such that it influences people. And when this happens, then at some point Allah the Almighty creates the means through which the paths of preaching open up. And those same people who were once opponents begin to enter the fold of Islam and come to understand the true teachings of Islam. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states, God the Almighty granted our master and chief, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who is the leader of the righteous, victory and support through many kinds of divine help. Although in the beginning, like Moses and Jesus, he too was destined to experience the trial of migration, yet that very migration contained within it the seeds of triumph and victory. Therefore, O friends, understand with certainty that a righteous person is never destroyed. When two parties become enemies of one another and carry their hostility to the extreme, then the party which is in the sight of God Almighty, righteous and God-fearing, receives help from heaven. In this way, through a heavenly decree, religious disputes are ultimately settled. That is, a decision is made in religious disputes. Just reflect how our master and chief, our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, first appeared in Makkah in a state of weakness. At that time, the disbelievers such as Abu Jahl were at the height of their power, and hundreds of thousands of people had become deadly enemies of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. So what was it that ultimately granted our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, victory and success? Certainly understand that it was his truthfulness, sincerity, purity of heart, and honesty that led to these triumphs. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, further states that Allah the Exalted addresses our Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and states, and thou dost surely possess high moral excellences. This means that all kinds of noble qualities, generosity, courage, justice, mercy, kindness, truthfulness, and fortitude are gathered within you. In short, all the faculties that are found within the human heart, such as courtesy, modesty, honesty, nobility, honor, steadfastness, chastity, abstinence, moderation, sympathy, that is compassion, as well as courage, generosity, forgiveness, patience, benevolence, truthfulness, loyalty, and so on. When all these natural qualities are expressed in their proper place and occasion with the guidance of wisdom and reflection, they are collectively called akhlaq, a moral excellence. Therefore, good morals does not simply mean meeting someone politely or offering greetings. Rather, according to the example of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, true moral excellence is the manifestation of all virtues and the proper conduct in all dealings with people. And it is towards this that attention must be paid. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, came to spread truth in the world. Therefore, on various occasions, he also exhorted those who believed in him to remain steadfast upon truth. In one narration, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that truthfulness is incumbent upon you. For truth leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to paradise. He further states that a person continues to speak the truth and strives to adhere to truth until he is declared by Allah to be Siddiq, a truthful person. And be aware of falsehood, for falsehood leads to wickedness, and wickedness leads to the fire. A person continues to lie and persists in falsehood until he is declared by Allah as a liar. And when he is declared as a liar, then he is destined for the fire. Thus, this is a matter of great fear. Another narration from Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which he states that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that falsehood, i.e. lying, is never permissible under any circumstance, neither in seriousness or in jest. Some people claim that they were joking when they lied, but even jokingly it is not permissible. Nor is it permissible for a person to make a promise to his child and then fail to fulfill it. Truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to paradise. And undoubtedly, falsehood leads to evil, and evil leads to the fire. Regarding a truthful person, it is said that he spoke the truth and did good. And regarding a liar, it is said that he lied and committed evil. Allama Razi explains verse 119 of Surah At-Tawbah, which states, Ya ayyuhal ladheena manuttaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. That is, O ye who believe, fear Allah and be with the truthful. In the commentary of this verse, Allama Razi states that a man came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and submitted that, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, I wish to avoid wrongdoing, but I am deeply attached to drinking, adultery, theft, and lying. He stated that I am heavily embroiled in these habits, whilst people say that you have deemed such practices as unlawful. I would like to believe in you, but you have declared these practices to be unlawful. However, I possess many such weaknesses, and I do not have the strength to abandon them all. Therefore, if you allow me to leave only one of them, I will accept the faith. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied that very well, then abandon lying. The man agreed and accepted Islam. After taking leave from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, when he was offered wine, he reflected that if he drank and the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, later asked him about it, he would either have to lie, thus breaking his promise, or then he would have to tell the truth and face punishment. And so he refrained from doing it. Then he was tempted with adultery and reflected in a similar manner and abandoned it. The same occurred with theft. And so he returned to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and stated that what you commanded was indeed excellent. For when you forbade me from lying, all other doors of sin were closed for me. Thus he repented from every evil. Regarding the acceptance of Islam by Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is recorded that the mother of believers, Hazrat Salama, narrates that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was a close and sincere friend of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was commissioned by God Almighty, the leaders of the Quraysh went to Hazrat Abu Bakr and said that your companion has become mad, God forbid. He asked what had happened, and they said that he was calling people in the sacred mosque towards Tawheed, that is one God, and claiming to be a prophet. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked whether he had truly said this, and they replied in the affirmative and stated that he was professing this in the sacred mosque. Thus, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and knocked at his door, beckoning him to come outside. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, came out, Hazrat Abu Bakr asked that, O Abu Qasim, what is this I've heard about you? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied that, O Abu Bakr, what have you heard about me? Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied that I heard that you are calling towards the oneness of God, and that you are a prophet of God. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, confirmed and said, Yes, Abu Bakr, my Lord, the Mighty and Exalted, has appointed me as a bearer of glad tidings and a warning, and has made me the fulfillment of the prayer of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and has raised me for all of humanity. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu replied, that by Allah, I have never known you to lie. And indeed, you are most deserving of prophethood due to your trustworthiness, your noble character, and establishing ties of kinship and your good deeds. Thus, extend your hand so that I may pledge allegiance to you. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, extended his hand, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu pledged his allegiance and testified to his truth and proclaimed the teaching brought by him was indeed the truth. By Allah, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu neither delayed nor hesitated when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, invited him to Islam. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, states in this regard, that when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, made his claim to prophethood, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, had travelled to Syria. Upon his return, he was still en route when he happened to meet someone. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu inquired of him as to the circumstances in Mecca and asked him if there was any current news. It is commonly observed that when a person returns from a journey, they will ask their fellow countrymen about the circumstances of their homeland. And so the individual responded that what is new is that your friend Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has made a claim to prophethood. As soon as Hazrat Abu Bakr heard this, he responded that if he had made such a claim, then indeed he is truthful. This shows the degree to which Hazrat Abu Bakr thought well of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. He felt no need to ask for a miracle. In actuality, only such a one who is uninformed of a claimant's circumstances or who is unrelated to them will ask to be shown a miracle for their heart's satisfaction. But as for the one who has no objection, what need has he for a miracle? In short, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq affirmed his belief in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, even before he had returned home. And when he arrived in Mecca, he presented himself before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and inquired, Have you claimed to be a prophet? The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Yes, this is correct. At this, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said, that bear witness that I am the first of those who have affirmed your truthfulness. Then, at another instance, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, explains this in the following manner, that it is indeed one's great fortune to accept the message at the outset, because one who does not accept it in the earliest period possesses no real merit or excellence. One who hears the message and accepts it and pledges allegiance at the outset is worthy and is blessed in nature. A person who engages in invasions and arguments has no merit nor any virtue. Because when God Himself makes the matter manifest, then even stones and trees begin to attest. That is, when everything becomes completely clear, when signs begin to appear, then upon acceptance virtually everything begins to accept this truth. A person of greater worth, however, is the one who accepts at the very outset, just as Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. He did not demand any miracle. Indeed, he had not even yet heard the claim in the blessed words of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, himself. Yet, he believed. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam then relates the entire account that Hazrat Abu Bakr had gone out on a trading journey, and that along the way Hazrat Abu Bakr encountered a man and inquired about the latest news. The man informed him that his friend had claimed prophethood. And upon hearing this, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said that if he has claimed prophethood, then he is truthful. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam further states, reflect carefully upon the fact that Hazrat Abu Bakr did not ask for any sign or miracle. Rather, he believed immediately upon hearing it. He had not even heard the claim directly from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, himself, but only from another person, and yet he accepted it at once. What extraordinary faith this was! Upon merely hearing the report attributed to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he entertained not the slightest possibility of falsehood. For he knew that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, could never utter a lie. Observe that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu did not demand any sign. It was for this reason that he was given the title of Siddiq, that is, one brimming with truthfulness. Merely by seeing his countenance, he recognized that he could not be false. Thus, recognizing the truthful and accepting them is not a difficult matter, for their signs are manifest. In this regard, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states at one instance, he writes, that I cannot overlook the testimony of Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, which she gave at the very outset of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him's claim of prophethood. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, heard the divine call and perceived that the whole world would oppose this message, and when he said, "The Khadija, I fear for my life," upon this she replied, "And rejoice, by Allah he will never disgrace you." Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha stated that let people say what they may, you should take comfort. If this is indeed true, then Allah will never disgrace you. For you always uphold the ties of kinship. You speak the truth. You bear the burdens of those in distress. And you provide for the destitute. And you show hospitality. And you assist in various virtuous causes. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that reflect upon the testimony of a 55-year-old lady who was a fellow townswoman and countrywoman and who had been married to him for 15 years. The testimony of Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha at such a moment when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was sorrowful and anxious is worthy of deep reflection. Had these qualities not truly been present in him, her statement would never have served as a source of consolation. Then, during the period of complete boycott imposed by the disbelievers in Shi'b Abi Talib, when the third year was approaching, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, having been informed by Allah the Almighty, told his uncle Abu Talib that the document of boycott by the Banu Hashim, which was hanging at the Kaaba, had been eaten away by termites, except the portion which mentioned the name of Allah. Abu Talib had such firm conviction in the words of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that he said to his brothers first, that by Allah, Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has never spoken a lie to me. He then went to the leaders of the Quraysh and said, that my nephew, who has never told me a lie, has informed me that Allah has set termites upon your document, and that they have eaten away at it except the portion mentioning the name of Allah. If my nephew proves truthful, then you must withdraw from your decision of boycott. But if he is proven false, then I will hand him over to you, and you may either kill him or spare him as you please. They said, in response, that this is indeed just. And so when the document was examined, it was found exactly as the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had stated. And thus the Quraysh were humiliated before their people. Then on one occasion, the Quraysh sent one of their chiefs, Utbah, as a representative to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He said that, "Why do you speak ill of our idols and declare our forefathers to be misguided? Whatever you desire, we will fulfill it. But all you must do is desist from these statements." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, listened patiently and in silence. When Utbah had finished speaking, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, recited a few verses from Surah Ha-Mim As-Sajda. And when he reached the verse, "That I warn you of a punishment like that of Aad and Samud," Utbah stopped him, saying that that is enough. Utbah then returned to his comrades and said to the Quraysh, "That I know that when Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, speaks, he never utters a lie. And so I fear lest such a punishment should befall you." Then there is also the testimony of Abu Jahl. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates that Abu Jahl said to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that we do not call you a liar, rather we deny that which you have brought. That is, we reject your religion. In another narration, it is mentioned that on the day of Badr, Akhnas bin Shariq met Abu Jahl and said that, "O Abu al-Hakam, there is no one here besides you and me who can hear our conversation. So tell me truthfully whether Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is truthful or a liar. Upon this, Abu Jahl replied that by Allah, Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is certainly truthful, and he has never spoken a lie. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states that did the enemies of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, not recognize their messenger and instead rejected him? That is to say, that how astonishing is it that for 40 years they observed Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. They witnessed his morals and habits, and through their own direct testimony they acknowledged that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was an exceptionally truthful person. Yet, when this truthful man declared that I have been sent by God Almighty for your guidance, they rose in opposition against him. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu further states that if a stranger had made such a claim to oppose him, he could have been excused, and it could have been assumed that since he had not seen the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, therefore he was claiming that he had fabricated a claim against Allah the Almighty. However, the inhabitants of Mecca, before whom the entire life of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, lay open like a clear book, how did they end up declaring him to be an impostor? How was it possible for them to call him a liar, whilst in their hearts they knew him to be truthful? How great an enemy was Abu Jahl of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him? This testimony was mentioned earlier as well. Yet on one occasion, even he admitted, as related by Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in which Abu Jahl said that we do not call you a liar, rather we deny the teaching which you have brought. Thus, even the heart of such a vehement opponent, an evil-natured person as Abu Jahl, was not prepared to declare the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, a liar. It was as though his conscience reproached him at the thought of calling him false, and his heart trembled at the gravity of such a vile act. Therefore, he resorted to the excuse that he was rejecting the teaching of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and not calling him a liar. This is akin to the proverb that offering an excuse is worse than the sin itself. Nevertheless, it demonstrates the profound impression that the truthfulness and integrity of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had established even in the hearts of the fiercest opponents. Umayyah bin Khalaf was also among his severe opponents. Yet, on one occasion, these words escaped his lips, that by God, when Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, speaks, he speaks only the truth, and he does not lie. It is said that true enchantment is that which completely captivates the other. And how great, then, is the enchantment of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, that even his enemies were compelled to acknowledge his truthfulness and integrity. Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam relates that when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, arrived in Medina, people rushed to meet him. And it was announced that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, has arrived. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, has arrived. The Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, has arrived. This was announced 3 times. He then says that I too went along with the people in order to see him. And when I looked carefully towards his face, I recognized that his countenance was not that of a liar. The very first words that I heard him say were that, O people, make it a habit to greet each other with the greetings of peace, feed others, maintain ties of kinship, and offer prayers at night when people are asleep, and you shall enter paradise in peace. Then there is also testimony from the Jews of Medina. There was a pact of mutual cooperation between the Muslims and the Jewish tribe of Banu Qurayza. And during the Battle of Ahzab, the chief of the Banu Nazir, Huyay bin Akhtab, went to Ka'b bin Asad Quraizi, the leader of the Banu Qurayza, and sought to persuade him to break his agreement with the Muslims and assist the Quraysh, so that the Muslims might be defeated. On that occasion, Ka'b bin Asad, who was the leader of the Banu Qurayza and an opponent of the Muslims, declared that I have a covenant with Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and I shall never break this agreement. I have seen nothing in him but loyalty and truthfulness. Similarly, it is narrated that Ubayd bin Umair relates that he heard a person say to Hazrat Ibn Umar that did you not hear the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, say that I do indeed engage in light-hearted speech, but even in that I speak nothing but the truth. Upon this he replied, indeed, that is true. Bahaz bin Hakim narrates from his grandfather that he heard the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, say, woe to the one who speaks and lies so that people may laugh because of it. Woe to him, woe to him. Thus, even the slightest falsehood was strictly forbidden by him and issued a stern warning against it. Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr relates that whatever I heard from the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, I would write it down with the desire to commit it to memory. Then the Quraysh stopped me and said, do you write down everything you hear? Whereas the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is a human being. He speaks in anger and also in happiness. Therefore, I refrain from writing. Thereafter, I mentioned this to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, gestured towards his mouth with his finger and said, continue to write. Then, pointing to his mouth, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that by him in whose hands is my life, nothing emerges from it except truth and righteousness. Thus, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed that it should indeed be written. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, would admonish against falsehood, even in its most subtle form. And this has been mentioned earlier as well. In one narration, it is related that Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr states, one day my mother called me, while the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was present in our home. And she said, come here, I will give you something. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, asked her, what do you intend to give him? She replied, that I shall give him a date. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said to her, that if you were not to give him anything, a lie would have been recorded against you. Thus, he upheld truthfulness to such a degree. Hazrat Muslim Aoud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu states, the personal rank of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in relation to truthfulness was so lofty that his own people had given him the title as Siddiq, i.e. the truthful. He consistently exhorted his community to remain steadfast upon truth, and he personally possessed a lofty rank in this regard. But he also instructed his followers to adhere firmly to truthfulness and endeavor to raise them to such a lofty standard of honesty that will be entirely free from even the slightest taint of falsehood. He would say that truth leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads a person to paradise, and that the ultimate station of truth is that a person continues to speak the truth until he is regarded as truthful even in the sight of Allah the Almighty. On one occasion, a man was brought before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, as a prisoner who had been responsible for the killing of many Muslims. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu considered that this man deserved the death penalty and repeatedly looked towards the face of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, hoping for a signal so that he might execute him. When the man was eventually released and departed, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, he was deserving of death. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, if he was deserving of death, then why did you not kill him? Hazrat Umar responded that, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, had you indicated with your eyes as a sign, I would have done so. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, then said that a prophet does not act deceitfully. How could it be that I would speak kindly to him with my tongue while signaling with my eyes for his execution? This would be deception, and such conduct is impossible for me. Thus, whilst he established such standards of truthfulness and honesty that even his enemies could not but acknowledge them, he also instructed his followers to attain the highest standards of truthfulness. Therefore, today, it is the duty of every Ahmadi to examine themselves and reflect on their own standards of truthfulness and to strive to remove any weakness in them. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to do so. After the Friday prayer, I shall also lead a funeral prayer in absentia of Shahida Ahmed Saiba, the wife of Mirza Naseem Ahmed Saib, who passed away recently at the age of 91. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She was a Musia and she was the daughter of Nawab Abdullah Khan Sahib and Sahibzadi Amtul Hafiz Begum Sahiba, who was the granddaughter of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam. She is survived by four sons. Her eldest son, Noman, writes that everyone testifies to her deep affection and exemplary kindness towards others. He further relates that she always desired a home filled with people and had a great passion for hospitality. Indeed, she would even wish for a larger house with more rooms so that more guests could be accommodated with ease. Similarly, her younger son Rizwan writes that she possessed many noble qualities, and messages continue to be received from people of all backgrounds, rich and poor, young and old, bearing witness to how she shared her love with all and formed personal bonds with them. She had a natural desire to help others and had a very loving nature and would win the hearts of everyone. In particular, she showed special care for those facing difficulties or hardships and always stood by the weak. He says that she would also advise her children to support the weak. She possessed remarkable determination and courage. This is something I've personally observed as well, that she had great determination and courage, mashallah. Her sister, Fawziya Shamim Sahiba, who has served as Sadr Lajna Lahore and perhaps currently is also serving as Sadr Lajna as well, says that if she were to summarize her in a few words, she would describe her as an embodiment of sacrifice, patience, courage, and love. Her daughter-in-law, Amtul Wakil, writes that her hospitality was especially outstanding. This has been mentioned by all her children and by many others as well, that her manner of hosting guests was entirely free from ostentation. In her later years, she suffered a fall which resulted in a hip injury, after which she became confined to a wheelchair. Yet she endured her illness with great patience and gratitude and never uttered even the slightest complaint. She says that she was a courageous patient and never caused any inconvenience to others. Her granddaughter, Khadija, has also written about her hospitality and further writes that she was an extremely loving and compassionate lady, and that in recent years she would complete the recitation of the Holy Quran 2 or 3 times a month. She further writes that she had great sympathy for the poor and would also advise others to pray for them. Her niece's daughter, Neha, who resides here, writes that she maintained a positive outlook in all circumstances and valued every moment of life and took great care of household staff as though they were her own family members. This too I have observed, that she would avoid speaking negatively about others or saying anything that might hurt someone's feelings. She was always mindful of the sentiments of others. She says that it is related that one of her household staff was leaving upon marriage, and she felt sorrow as one does at the departure of one's own daughter, as the house would now feel empty. Often, there are various virtues that remain hidden during a person's life, but become known afterwards through those who experience them. And she too was among such people. May Allah the Almighty grant her His forgiveness and have mercy upon her.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.